Thank you, Ms. Lisa and Ms. Katie. As always, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. For our visitors, I am not the pastor of this church. I am a lay preacher. My name is Brother Jacob. We are in the search of a pastor, but God will provide. But in tradition, joke. Got to get a smile first before we get started. Church is going through a revival to speak, and had three different denominations together. Had the Presbyterian, the Baptist, and the Episcopalian. Is that how y'all say that? Y'all got me, right? My Kentucky won't let me get that word out, so y'all just go with that, all right? There's some words in Kentucky we just can't say, and that's one of them. And I've tried for years to learn Spanish, and my Kentucky just won't let me get some of those words out either, so y'all pray for that. But anyway, they were in a great revival service, and anything at the end of the week, the three pastors were sitting there talking with each other. And the Presbyterian pastor said, "Man, it's a wonderful service. We had four brand new families added to our church." The Baptist said, "Well, we had six brand new families added to our church." Episcopalian pastor said, "Yes, yes, it was wonderful. We got rid of the 10 worse than ours." Did you get that one? I'm going to get in trouble. I stay that way. And I told Miss Gail the joke the other night that I told about the animal crackers. And the comment that came out of her mouth was what? I got that one. So that's the reason I asked that. Bless her heart. Y'all pray for her. Y'all pray. Y'all do need to pray for her. Her husband's mean. Whew. We have heard the expression, a two-sided coin. Or there's always a right and wrong answer. Or two sides to the story. Today the title of my message is called The Dual Purpose Box. I'd like to speak on the topic of a funeral. So there's two sides to every funeral. You could have, and unfortunately most have, a funeral that is dark and dreary. One where sadness rings through the seats. Where there's continual wailing, crying. There's discomfort, disheartenedness. Hearts are heavy. There's emptiness and loneliness. It's a time of heavy mourning. There is no joy. It's a time of reflection of the one that's passed. And usually it's on how much misery they were in or how they suffered or how horrible their life they had. It's a time of bitterness. They oftentimes talk of how wrong things happened, or this doctor or that doctor. There's no joy found in the funeral at all. It's even a time of lying. It's a time of greed. Funerals a lot of times bring out the worst in people and in families and relationships because people start wondering what they're going to get or what they're not going to get or who's going to get what. So emotions take over. But then there's another type of funeral. There's a funeral where it's the celebration of life. Yes, there's some mourning, but it's a joyful mourning. It's an understanding that our loved one has gone beyond to a greater place. It's an understanding that the blessed hope has come to the one, that there's no more pain and no more sorrow. It's a reflection of the joys of their life. It's not a celebration of the miseries, but remember the happy times. So as if a family reunion has happened. It's a time of happiness, so to speak. The because people come together and they remember the good times they've had with this person. They remember the joys, the jokes that was told. It's a reflection of the wonders and splendors of that individual's life. You don't find that there's so much weeping as there is laughter. You don't find that there's so much sorrow as there is joy. Because there's two sides to that coin. Psalms 1:1-6 lays out the two sides of people, one being righteous and the other being ungodly. Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in this season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor not sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." You see, the type of funeral one has is based on his or her relationship with God. Our text today, I almost forgot. I didn't give you all a quiz, did I? Where is the only place in the Bible do you find the word coffin? Coffin. Coffin. It is mentioned one time in the Bible, which is where I could take my message from today, which is why I did not give you the quiz. F-F-I-N, as in burial. Where in the Bible do you find the word coffin? It is found one time. You find your places in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26. We have one verse for our text today we want to read as we stand. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26. And then here's your answer. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26, the Word of God says, "So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." Father God, we love you, and we thank you for all your glories, and all your mercies, and all your forgiveness. Lord, we understand we're not worthy of one bit of it. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask that you would bless in this service. We ask that you would open our hearts to be receptive of what you've had for us today, Lord. Lord, if there's a lost in here, it'd be great to hear that one saved today, Lord. It'd be great to know that the angels of heaven rejoiced. Father God, be it the children, be it Brother Norman and Miss Lisa as they teach. May they be attentive. We pray for their souls and their salvations, Lord. Lord, just help us. Lord, come down and dwell among us just for a little while, Lord. We wish that you just give us a little time. Hide me behind the cross, and may it only be your words that is heard today. Lord God, most importantly, may your will be accomplished. It's in the Lamb's name that we ask. Amen. It was not Jewish custom or tradition to put the remains in a coffin. But we find Joseph, when he died at 110 years old, being embalmed, which was an Egyptian custom, and being placed in a coffin. It was Jewish tradition always to be laid out in a cave or a hewn vault, never to be encased. We know that the Egyptians is oftentimes referred to as a type of the world. The Egyptian people did not believe in the eternal God, and their stance of eternity therefore differed from reality. One, Egyptians believed death was only temporal interruption to life. It was but a thing to them. And two, Egyptians preserved the body so that the dead could use it in the afterlife. which is why they embalmed and encased it so nothing would touch the body. And the only mention of the word coffin in the Bible, we find a twofold meaning. The message fits the two classes of people that we have in the world today. The first class are the saved. Those are the which are redeemed by the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. And then the second class, the unsaved, the ungodly. Those that shall stand before the great white throne of judgment and answer according to the books. The Hebrew translation for the word coffin is Aaron. It is translated 195 times as the ark, and 6 times as a chest, and 1 time as a coffin. The twofold definition of the word coffin is a chest or box in which a dead human body is buried or dispositioned in a vault, or a money chest, or a place to secure valuables, a hope chest. One is used in human eyes as a way to contain something that is no longer there. The other is a chest of hope, a promise given from God. James 4 and 14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." The question today is that the box your body is going in, is it going to be placed in a hope chest, or is your body going to be placed in a coffin? What determines the definition, or what makes a difference? We find that in Luke chapter 16 and verses 19 through 31. We find the history of two men. We know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man clothed in purple, wealthy beyond all means, and so much that he wears royal clothes to show how much money he has. The Bible says he fared sumptuously. He lived in luxury. He had everything that he wanted. He wanted for nothing. If he was hungry, he ate. He needed water or wine, he drank. He needed service, he bought them. There was nothing that he did not have. It was all his. It says he had 5 brothers. He had a family, he had kindred. By today's standards, he had everything that he wanted and everything that he needed. He was a wealthy man and he cared for nothing. Like many people today. And then we find a beggar named Lazarus was laid at the gate sick and could not move. Someone that had to be brought and dropped down so that he could beg each day for food. An invalid that could not move, could not take care of himself. Truly dependent on somebody else to do something for him. The Bible says his body was full of sores. It was decaying and it was rotten. And so much that it stank and that the dogs licked upon him. He desired but one thing daily, and that was food. And he begged of the rich man to feed him. He begged the passerby to give him something just to eat, to sustain his life. The two sides. In the end of Luke 16:22, we find that the rich man also died and was buried. There was no rejoicing note in the Bible for this man's death. There was no hallelujah songs in heaven. There was no glorious unition or uniting of family. It was simply said that he died. There was no happy thoughts. There was no songs. There was no farewell partings. The Bible is just plainly states, he died and was buried. This is the burial of the coffin. There is no joy in a coffin. This is the burial of a lost person. For you that are lost, it's just a box where no hope lies in, is empty and is void. There will be no angels singing and rejoicing in heaven. There will be no welcome celebration, no jubilee. But in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. The coffin death is the death of a lost person. A death of one that shall wake up into the burning fires of hell. A death of one that shall be tortured for the remainder of their life in eternal darkness in the abyss that was created for the devil and his angels. A coffin death signifies punishment. Signifies pain. Torments above all, which means tortured day and night. Gnashing and welling the teeth. The unsaved person that ends up in the coffin ends up in hell's fire, where the worm dieth not. There is no glory, no hope. But eternal punishment. The hope chest. In Luke 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And you already see the difference. For the rich man, he died and he was buried. Oh, but for Lazarus, he was carried by angels. Can you see the rejoicing? Can you see the difference of knowing who God is in your heart and your life? From the moment that he died, the Bible said that he was carried from death into life by angels into the bosom of Abraham the Father. There's glory, there's hope in this chest. For a saved person is not a coffin. It's hope. And it's a blessed hope. We don't wake up in torments. We wake up in the glory of heaven, in the splendor of hope, and rejoicing. It is a hope chest for those that are saved. Oh, what a difference the Bible clearly shows. Locked inside Lazarus' hope chest was John 3:16. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lazarus didn't perish. The Bible clearly states that angels took him. Took him home. There was no perishing. There was everlasting life. The promise, the blessed hope rang through. Something that Lazarus had been faithful to all of his life. Yes, he suffered his on earth full of sores and he begged, but he no longer begs anymore. Inside his hope chest. Inside Jesus Christ in all eternity, he's sitting at a table well fed and full. Inside the hope chest. And as soon as he entered in, he was there. Translated once and for all to the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. Inside his hope chest was Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He was saved from eternity in hell. He was saved from the hell fires. He was saved from the life that he lived here. He was saved from death and pain. He was saved from all of the glories and splendor that God had promised him. But in the hope chest, there's no lies. In the hope chest, there's true hope and foundation of Jesus Christ. And he entered into his hope chest and all was made true. All was found to be right and true in the eyes and the sight of the glorious King. In his hope chest. Oh, the hope. He was saved from eternal darkness. He was saved from the gnashing and the welling of the teeth. He was saved from what the rich man suffered because he entered into the hope. Inside the hope chest was locked many mansions. Inside the hope chest was locked no more pain and no more suffering, no more sorrows and no more shame. Inside the hope chest was locked no more begging, no more discomfort. He no longer had to lay where he could walk about. He was healed. Out of his hope chest was a new body for him, a new life, a new beginning. One that he had hoped in all his life was waiting for him inside his chest. Locked up in Lazarus' chest was eternal security. It rested in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Inside his hope chest was eternal fellowship with God the Father that never shall be lost. He may have begged on earth, but he shall never beg again. For he has entered into his hope chest. were to ask, what hope is in the chest for you? Is your chest the hope chest, or is your chest the coffin? What is built for you today? You make it. It's your choice. For God said, I seek to come to seek and to save all that which is lost. You make it your hope chest, or you make it your coffin. And to think that you have time to make a choice or decision is a lie from Satan. Let me give you some stats real quick. 1 in 6 today will die of heart disease. 1 in 7 of cancer. 1 in 28 of stroke. 1 in 88 will die in a motor vehicle accident. 1 in 12 will die of self-harm. 1 in 130 will die of poisoning. 1 in 171 will die of falls. 1 in 103 will die in a car crash today. 1 in 306 will die of assault by firearms. Today, 6,300 people will die. To say that we can wait for tomorrow is a lie of Satan. To say that we have an opportunity later on to do what Christ has asked us to do is sinful. Look at the world today and what's happening. Look here in Clovis, New Mexico. What was it, 6 months ago, the young man walked into the library and shot people. We have bombings in Texas. We have shootings all around the U.S. in different schools and stuff. We have people going about their everyday life thinking that they have time to do whatever. And they don't. Today, the Bible says, the day of salvation. There is no opportunity for tomorrow. That is a lie of Satan. Today is the day that you shall be saved. Do not put it off for tomorrow, for you do not know what tomorrow may bring. We build our boxes based on one thing. Whether or not we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Whether or not we put our faith and trust in Him as our Redeemer. And whether or not we repent of our sins and ask Him into our heart. We have a choice. We have a decision in the matter. Whether or not we have a funeral that's sad and depressing. Whether or not we have a funeral that's full of hope and joy. It rests upon each and every one of us. The nails that nailed our Savior to the Calvary's tree are the ones that build our hope chest. He dropped every drop of blood on that day for us. He paid the price so that we can have an eternal home with Him. In His body, He bore all of our judgments so we would not have to go down and be buried in a coffin and end up into an infernal fire of hell like the rich man did. He built us a hope chest. And in His bosom, and in His promises, and every drop of blood lies our blessed hope. And it's our choice whether or not we build a hope chest or a coffin. I would ask, if you were to die today, would it be a coffin? Or would it be a hope chest? Has there been a time in your life that you have asked Jesus Christ into your heart and repented of your sins? Death is a serious matter. You have but two choices, and the choice is yours. God does not send one person to hell, for He has made a way, and that way is through His Son, the way, the truth, and the life. It's our choice. Have you made the choice for salvation today? If not, let today be the day of the salvation. Today, build your hope chest as Lazarus did. It's a two-sided box. And you decide which way it goes. Are you saved today? Let's stand. Father God, we thank You for Your love and Your grace. Lord, we thank You for Your dear Son, Jesus Christ. I know it's a short message today, Lord, but You gave us that blessed hope. Lord, I pray that there's any here that are scared to die, that they do not know where they'll end up to the day, Lord, that they'll find out with You. Lord, that they'll find out for sure. There's no need of one person going to hell, for You have paid the way for all. Maybe there's one here, Lord, that's just dealing with the sin of their life. May they come to the altar and lay it at your feet. Lord, maybe they just need to come and just give you the glory for their life. The altar is open for all. Lord, we thank you for your love. Save one today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The altar is open. Are you going out in the hope chest or are you going out in the coffin today? You build the box. You put the nails in it.